Matthew chapter 6, seeking God first. Matthew chapter 6. Amen. Hey, and Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Precious verse here. We know how to say the verse. Maybe many of you have it memorized. But what does it mean? And how can we live it? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, let's look at it word by word, phrase by phrase. What's the first word? But. This first word is used as a conjunction. It's a part of speech that's often used to show a contrast. So, you say something, but, and then show something contrasting to it. And that is how it is used here. So, if it says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, what do we see in verse 32 then? It's showing a contrast to verse 32. Verse 32 says, for after all these things do the Gentiles what? Seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So we're to seek the kingdom of God first. They are seeking something else first. But what is it? We've got to back up another verse. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? So the Gentiles are seeking food and clothes and something to drink. That's what they're seeking. So the word Gentile is used in reference to the world here. And our lives are to be in contrast to them, the things they seek compared to what we are seeking. If you hold your place here, turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. So our lives as Christians are to be in contrast to this world. So the world, we're not talking about the dirt, the stones, the mountains. We're talking about people and the way they live in this world. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither what? The things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth what? The will of God abideth forever. You know, it's discouraging to buy something and then find out you've bought something that's inferior quality and quickly breaks. It's discouraging, isn't it? But eventually, that's the way all material things are. They're soon broke. But what about our lives? All these things quickly pass away. Verse 17, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, what about our whole lives? If we stand before God and find out we invested in only temporary material things. Notice in 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 18. I can recall, I think it was 1972, I think. Chevy made a pickup truck that I thought was really nice looking. It was, they'd kind of changed from a little more rounded look to a little more boxy look, and I normally wouldn't like the boxy look over a more rounded look, but on this truck, there were a lot of them, these Chevy trucks, that they would do it in two-tone colors, and I remember this one in particular. It was kind of a maybe a medium blue, the top along the truck and the bottom, and then I don't know how wide, maybe it was like this wide. The whole length of the truck was white. And I thought, wow, those trucks are really sharp looking. And so, but I didn't have the money in 1972 to buy a new truck like that. But you know what? And I'm glad I didn't now. Because there are not very many of that particular year on the road anymore. You know why? They rusted in pieces. They were just terrible. Just in a few years, those things started rusting out. It was horrible. So what I thought looked really nice, a nice truck, was really trash. It didn't last very long at all. So 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal or temporary. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So we can spend our whole lives, we can spend all of our money on things that quickly wear out and break. I mean, we're living in the time of throwaway trash, aren't we? When we moved into this house, we got a new refrigerator, and that was about 16 years ago, and the refrigerator just gave up. And I'm thinking, after only 16 years? And need a new refrigerator? I mean, I'm thinking back where I can remember refrigerators used to last so long that they would get moved from the house to the garage a lot of times. Not because they were broke, because they were just so old-looking. And it's like those things ran forever and ever, it seems like. 30 years? That's what I was thinking this refrigerator should run. And then I start talking to salesmen, and they say, yeah, well, you do well if it lasts 7 years. 7 years? And that's the way everything is, though, today, isn't it? It's like throwaway. It's like, I could get a new compressor online for $300, 300 and some. But the repairmen all wanted like $1,000 to repair that. So I called an old friend that fixed refrigerators, and he just said, 16 years? Just go get a new refrigerator. I mean, even he, who fixed refrigerators, and it's still hard for me in that mode. I mean, you used to have all kinds of electronic repairmen. When electronic would break, I mean, even toasters and radios and TVs. I mean, people used to actually fix them. Now what do? You toss it out in the trash, and you just go buy another one. It's just our whole way of life is just disposal. Everything is throwaway. And I'm afraid, spiritually speaking, people are living the same way. Everything, it's not done with eternity in mind. Notice in Matthew 6, verse 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where what? Moth and rust doth corrupt. Now, in our day and age, we probably don't even know what this is referring to almost anymore, but woolen clothes you used to have to put in a cedar chest or something because the moths would eat holes in them over the wintertime. So, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. It's like, okay, somebody has something valuable and they get a safe deposit box in the bank, or they keep it in their vault. You know, it's like somebody having a ring that's so big they're afraid to wear it in public for fear they'll be robbed or it'll be stolen. What good is it then? What good is something that's so valuable you can never actually wear it and enjoy it? I would say that's basically worthless. But that's what people do. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your what? Treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also. So where is our treasure? Where is our hearts? changes over time, doesn't it, sometimes? I remember, it was about 1972, I bought my first car, and I just had to have a Camaro, and I spent hours and hours working on it and a lot of money into it, and ended up selling it when Sandy and I were married and using it to help buy a piece of land. And as I think back on it, I think, what a waste. What a waste of money and time on that car. But my heart was in cars, and it's not now. I'd see some fancy car go by, and it has no pull for me, no attraction. I wouldn't waste my money on it now, but back then I would. But verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is our hearts? And that brings us back to Matthew 6:33 there. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So our first word was but. Our lives are be in contrast to the world. The second word is what? Seek. Seek. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek means to go in search of, to look for, to try to discover. Search. Are we searching for God? How many people in this day and age are searching for a police officer? Well, a lot of people want to avoid the police because they're breaking the law. Other people sadly want to search for police officers to harm them because their minds are so warped as to what is good and right. But to go in search of, to look for. There's a lot of people that are looking for God about as much as they're looking for the police officer. Their lives are on the edge, not obeying the law. They don't want to see a police officer. In the same way, there are a lot of people who don't want to see God because they know it's probably not going to go too well with them. But are we seeking God? I mean, every morning, do we seek God? Or do we not necessarily want to talk to him or know what he says? Jeremiah 29. Let's go to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And ye shall what? Seek me and what? Find me when ye shall search for me with what? All your heart. The world's not seeking for God. They're not seeking. Somebody yesterday made that clear. No, not interested. Not seeking for God. Look in Psalm chapter 10, verse 4. Psalm 10, 4. What if we had come up to the house and had on our car, it said Publishers Clearinghouse Sweepstakes. And we pulled into their yard and we got out with, I don't know what they present to people when they win it. Maybe some other prize. They probably don't do this, but, you know, if you had a car that said, you know, lottery on it, sweepstakes or something. My point is this, if you pulled into someone's yard and on your car they saw something that they thought they had won it big, wow, they'd be welcoming you. Do they realize who God is? Well, they don't, or they'd be welcoming us. It's like, you have a word from God? Look at Psalm 10:4. The Bible says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not what? Seek after God. God is what? Not in all his thoughts. You realize that's the majority of the world. God is not in all their thoughts. God, Lord willing, is in all of our thoughts many times a day. But for the world, he is not in their thoughts. And even when they use his name in blasphemy, I don't think he is in their thoughts. It's just a curse word. It's not a serious contemplation about God. It's just something vile and strong to say. So, seek. Are we really seeking for God? Well, let's go back to Matthew 6:33. We need to find the third word. So the first two words were, but seek. What's the third word? Ye. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. So it's personal. I know we can say those people in Washington need to get right with God. But maybe we need to get right with God. Maybe there's something in our lives that does not please God. I know we're maybe looking at their faults, but do we look in the mirror and see our faults? It's personal. But seek ye, each one of us. Go with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. Where can we seek God? Each one of us. Where can we find him? Isaiah 34 in verse 16. Isaiah 34, 16. The Bible says, seek ye out what? Of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered him. So he's talking about a prophecy here, but what he says the first part, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. That's where we'll find him, is in the scriptures. You know, the Jewish people, the leaders, were so critical of Jesus. And what did he say to them in John chapter 5? John chapter 5. You know, they should have recognized him. I read this week about a couple in Alaska that went to Washington, D.C. Maybe you read about them as well. They went to Washington, D.C. when there was the big rally, when the Senate and House or whatever it was, they were going to, I think it was the Senate, was going to vote and ratify the votes and so on. And so a lot of people went to Washington, D.C., and evidently someone that got in the Capitol building stole Nancy Pelosi's laptop, and they haven't found it yet. And so a couple in Alaska, a man come out of his bedroom in the morning to face 7 guns pointed at him from the FBI. And they were sure that his wife was the one on the camera they thought had stolen Nancy Pelosi's laptop. And so they handcuffed him. They took them, him and his wife, in separate rooms and grilled them for 3 hours. And the man said, they showed him the picture. And the man said, my wife is much prettier than that woman. But the FBI agents weren't so sure, but it was his wife. Well, I guess they finally believed him, and that it wasn't his wife. It was someone else. They wasn't inside the Capitol building. So they didn't do their job very well. And of course, security cameras don't always do their job very well either, as far as quality of pictures. But in John 5:39, Jesus told these leaders, search what? The scriptures, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Now, Jesus is not trying to negate that. It's true. In the scriptures, we do find eternal life. In them ye think ye have eternal life, and they, the scriptures, are they which what? Testify of me. So he said, search the scriptures. You believe that in the scriptures you'll find out how to have eternal life? Well, search them, and you'll find that it's testifying of me. Clearly testified of him. And yet they were missing him. Missing him. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Why didn't they see that indeed Jesus is the Messiah? In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So the child is going to be born, but the son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the what? Mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Then why did they say it was blasphemy when he claimed to be God? The Bible prophesied that the Messiah would be called the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. When Jesus said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one, instead of picking up stones, what should they have picked up? The Bible. He's saying he's one with the Father. You know what? That rings a bell. That rings a bell with Isaiah 9:6. He's going to be called the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father, the Messiah. The Messiah is going to be called the Everlasting God, or the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Instead of picking up stones, they should have picked up the Scriptures and said, that's a fulfilled prophecy. That's true. But they didn't do that, did they? He told them to search the Scriptures. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, it's in the Bible where each of us will find God personally. That's where we will find him. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. The Bible says being born again. How? How can we be born again? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by what? The Word of God. We would have no idea how to be born again apart from the Bible, would we? We would have no clue how to be saved. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God promised to preserve His Word. It's the living Word. He promised it would live and abide forever. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord, what? Endureth forever. And this is the word, which by what? The gospel is preached unto you. Listen, if we can't be sure this is the pure word of God, the incorruptible word of God, if we're not sure of that, there's no way we could be sure we're saved. Because without this, there's no assurance. Without the true word of God. That's what it says. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So it's got to be a personal decision. Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. No one else can get saved for us. It would be nice if we could get saved for other people, but we can't. It's a personal decision. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek what? Ye. There's that word again. Seek ye. Each one of us individually have to seek. Seek ye the Lord while he what? May be found. Call what? Ye. Call ye. Me. You. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will what? Abundantly pardon. He wants to pardon lost sinners. But they, us, each individual has to make that personal decision. Well, let's go back to Matthew 6:33. We're on the fourth word. The first word was but. We are to be in contrast to this world. They're headed for destruction. We're to be in contrast, but seek. We need to seek after God. We need to search after him, but seek ye. So it's personal. And what's the next word? First. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is he really first in our hearts? If you look back there in verse 21, Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is he really first? Is he really first in our lives? Well, back there in verse 33, the next one, we're going to take a phrase instead of just a word because it goes together. But seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God. And here, are we seeking greatness for ourselves in life? Are we seeking riches, fame? Is it all about us? Or are we seeking to glorify God? We are to seek first the kingdom of God, not our own kingdom, but the kingdom of God. That's a question for each one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Sometimes people say, I don't have anything God could use. Well, excuse me. That's the way we may feel. God, I don't have anything usable. But that is exactly what God can use, because then he gets the glory. If you look at 1 Corinthians 1:26, excuse me. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that what? Not many wise men after the flesh. Not many who? Mighty. Not many who? Noble are called. But God hath chosen the what? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen what? The weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are what? Despised. Hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him what? Glory in the Lord. So you see, we don't have to be in the top of our class. We don't have to have a PhD in something. We don't have to have some huge bank account to be used of God. All we need is to be willing, because God will be glorified in our weakness. He will make his strength to be seen. Notice in Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Well, this certainly is the me generation, the self generation, but that's not what we need. Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created. And you know what? We find pleasure in bringing God's pleasure. Our highest pleasure is found when we are pleasing God. Our highest pleasure. Notice in Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 talks about things that are reasonable. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There was a time in my life when I would read that and I'd think, but why, God? Why can't I pick what I want to do? And so I did. And I wasn't happy. But it goes on, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that what? Good and what? Acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. You know what I found out? I was so afraid of verse 1. I didn't understand how it could be reasonable, but now I understand. Because God got me to the point where I was willing to do whatever he wanted me to do. And I found out that doing his will, it is good, and it is acceptable, and it is perfect. It's his will. You know, there's so many people that are longing for the Lord's return, and we should. We should be looking for the Lord's return. But a lot of people are doing just that. They're looking. They're looking at all the signs happening. You know, they're looking at this nation aligning against this nation. They're looking at the locust plagues going on. They're looking at the water in some parts of the world are turning red like blood. They're looking at, you know, the weakness of some nations and even like the COVID thing. You know, there's some nations going to, you've got to show proof that you have either the shots or the antibodies or you can't do this or that. And so they're looking, wow, this is sounding a lot like the Antichrist. You can't do this or that unless you have the mark of the beast. So this is going to flow real easily because people are going to be used to having to listen to the government. You can't gather together, or you can't go into a store, or you can't go to a sporting event, or you can't do this or that unless you have this stamp. And so people are saying, wow, this is really setting the stage for the Antichrist. People are just going to be used to that demand. And so we're watching. Oh, I can't wait to be with the Lord. But notice with me in Luke 17. Luke 17 and verse 20. So we're looking. We're looking at all these outward things. I can't wait till I'm with Jesus and he's ruling and reigning. But we're talking about, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. So we're looking for it. Luke 17:20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when? The what? The kingdom of God should come. See, they're looking. But they were missing, weren't they? They weren't seeing it in Christ. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God, what? Cometh not with observation. Really? The kingdom of God, then why are we doing all this looking for it? I can't wait to see Jesus rule and reign. Verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, what? The kingdom of God is what? Within you. You know what? We don't have to be looking for the kingdom of God to come, because what does he want? He wants the kingdom of God within us. In other words, he wants Jesus Christ to be on the throne right now. Where? In our hearts. We don't have to look for a day when we can see him rule and reign. He can do that right now in our lives, in our hearts. That's what he wants. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. We're always longing for a better day, aren't we? Always longing for a better day. If only this would happen, then I'd be happy. If only this would happen, I could be happy. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That seeking is not just looking for his coming, it's allowing him to rule and reign right now in my heart, in my life. There's a lot of people that argue about things right now on earth, but what if Jesus, if we practice that, if Jesus was in my presence, what would I do? See, that's the thought. The kingdom of God is within you. When we're saved, Christ is in our hearts by faith, Ephesians 3:17. He wants to rule and reign. So we don't have to wait for his coming to see him on the throne. We can have him on the throne of our lives right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, please help us. Oh, Lord, help us. It's a personal decision to be saved. I pray if there should be any here today who have never been saved, they'd realize that Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the perfect and pure, sinless Savior who came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the cross, on the tree. Was buried and rose again victorious from the grave, proving that death could not hold him. And we read that the wages of sin is death, so he paid the wage. Death could not hold him. His blood was sufficient. He rose from the grave. And Father, I pray you'd help us as Christians. I know the days sometimes seem really weary and long. The time is very wicked. We have corruption on every hand, in high and in low places. And we long for the return of the Lord. But Lord, help us to awaken to the fact that Jesus can reign. right now in our hearts, in our lives. The kingdom of God is within you. May that be true. May we be walking around and not lamenting the fact that Christ is not ruling. May we walk around rejoicing that He's ruling and reigning in our hearts and lives and giving us the peace that passeth all understanding. Well, thank you, Father, for all you do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.